everybody, and welcome back. I'm Portia.
I'm Mercedes.
And together we are God's Daughters. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey. Long time coming.
It is. Well, I'm so excited about what we're going to be talking about today.
I am too. How have you been?
Oh, my goodness. Well, as you know, personally, I feel like this week has been a whirlwind. But there's been some things that I'm so glad God put it on my heart and on your heart that we should be talking about today. Yeah. And I love how he deals with us individually. And then when we come back together, we realize that he's talking to us both about mm-hmm. the same thing.
And it's like, it makes sense now why we went through what we went through. But on the fun side, don't we look cute?
Today's outfit idea, the theme was Sadie's idea.
We love a black moment.
She wanted all black. I had to spice it up. I love neutral, so yeah. Of course I had to add brown in there.
I'm trying to get her into more color, but that's a job.
Color I'll do is pink. I need help.
Purple, red, all these beautiful He done created so many colors, and she just want nude.
Pink. Cream.
But anyway, beige. She's very given much festive, and I'm given retro.
You are literally given that girl from Greece. What was her name?
I promise that was me.
Yeah, was it Sandy? Sandy, yes. That's what you're given.
I love Sandy. Yes.
With Sandy. The headband and everything.
Tell me about it. Yes. Stud.
I love it.
Anyway. That was fun.
Yeah.
All right, so today's topic, would you like to introduce today's topic?
Yeah.
It's a spicy one.
Yeah, so we kind of saw, like I said, God was dealing with us both on things. And the topic is lifestyle versus trend, Christianity, the call to come to Jesus. Is it a lifestyle change that people are making, or is it something that people are doing just because it's trending?
And it's so weird. It's so weird because as I scroll through TikTok, that is something that I am seeing so much. I've noticed a lot of influence. They are turning to God. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it could be a serious thing. It might not be. I don't know. But right now, it's hashtag Jesus. Hashtag, you know, and he definitely dealt with me in my private time and talked to me about what he felt like. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like what he feels as far as this trend. So we're going to talk about that. But
the topic was just like, was it the other night? It was so heavy on my heart that as I was thinking about it, I found myself in tears and just crying. And then God confirmed. And I thought that this was just something that God was dealing with me on in my heart one-on-one. But he confirmed it with you. And the exact words that you said was exactly what he put in my spirit. And so this morning, before we recorded, he gave me this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Mm-hmm. And there was a few things that he highlighted to me this morning. He said that the miracles that Jesus did, it was all instant. It was all what people will call overnight, him healing the woman with the issue of blood, him healing the man that had leprosy on the spot, him raising the dead. All of these things was overnight, even down to his disciples following him. You know, Peter dropped everything to follow Jesus. He was fishing, and him and his brother, James, they dropped everything to follow Jesus. Yeah. Matthew instantly dropped everything. He stopped being a tax collector to follow Jesus. You have this sudden and this spontaneous move where people were literally just dropping everything that they were doing, stopping in the middle of their steps to follow Jesus. And Jesus began to talk to me about how that's how he does things. So to the world, it can look like it's overnight, and because they don't know how to make sense of it, they're calling it a trend. And he told me, like, they did the same thing back in my day, 2,000 years ago. They thought this was a trend. And one of the words that he put within my spirit was, "Oh, ye of little faith." Mm. And he says that the level of your faith is what determines the amount of time, like how quickly you can see those miracles happen where he is doing a radical change within your life.
Yes.
So for those who don't believe that God can make a radical change in someone's life and it appear, quote unquote, overnight, mm-hmm. he's saying, "Oh, ye of little faith," mm-hmm. because I created man within one day, a whole human being. What makes you think that I can't change your heart within a second?
But you know what? From beginning to the end of the Bible, all the stories in the Bible are dramatic. Everything is dramatic. Everything seems like a fairy tale, but it was real. And that's one thing that I love about God. We love a dramatic king, okay?
He's a dramatic
king. We love
God.
A dramatic king, and that is what he is. Mm-hmm. I'm a drama queen. So, you know, we tit for tat. Not really. But everything in the Bible is so dramatic. So when people say, "Oh, she couldn't have changed in a day or two," or "She was just at the club last month, and now she over here, she didn't got baptized this month." It's like
that's the power of God.
And I love that you brought up faith, mm-hmm. because faith is attached to everything. Mm-hmm. My favorite word in the Bible is suddenly, mm-hmm. and suddenly. It is something about that word. The word suddenly was mentioned over 87 times in the Bible.
Wow.
Suddenly is a word for change. Mm. That's what it is. You take out that word suddenly and you take it as change. Like, and it's dramatic. Mm-hmm. He spoke to me in my quiet time and he said, "Your suddenly moment is attached to your faith. Do you want a great blessing? Do you want great healing?" Mm-hmm. Then your faith has to show that. Mm-hmm. He also said, anytime a person who was healed or needed anything in the Bible, what was the question that he always turned around and asked them?
He asked them about their faith.
Do you believe?
Do you believe?
Do you believe? Mm-hmm. My power is within you. Mm-hmm. Do you believe? Like, that's the key to it. Your faith has to be great. And these people that had these great changes in their lives, it's because they had great faith and they had their suddenly moment. So this is so good.
The amount of faith that you have is equivalent to how great the change or the miracle will be.
Yeah.
And when God says that if only you have the faith the size of a mustard seed. That's the bare minimum.
That's exactly the bare minimum.
But what he is wanting, people get stuck there and they're like, "Well, I have faith the size of a mustard seed." Mm-mm. And it's like, don't get stuck there. God wants us to grow.
God is like, "That's just give me a little bit."
Yeah.
Just give me a, but when I think of faith as the size of a mustard seed, somebody that is saying, "Lord, I need help financially. I need you to help me with my bills." Mustard seed faith is just enough. Just enough money to cover your bills.
Absolutely.
But if you have greater faith, you're talking about money that's not only going to cover my bills, but it's going to cover me till next year. It's going to set my kids up. It's going to cover my generation to generation. So let your faith
be abundant.
Be delusional.
Yeah.
Be delusional with it. It's okay. I'm delusional for God. I know what he's shown me. I know what he has for us.
Yeah.
Therefore, our faith is great.
Yeah. I love that when you said, "Let your faith be delusional." Sometimes you gotta, if you don't feel crazy believing God that he can do that thing that you're believing him for, then I would say that you're not doing it right.
Well, they thought he was crazy.
Exactly. Like, you're on the right track if you're feeling a little bit delulu, believing God for whatever it is that
the
you
unseen.
Have. Exactly.
Believe in the unseen.
Exactly.
And that's what he is.
Exactly.
What you got?
I am going to backtrack in my notes a little bit over here. So there was a couple things that God had pointed out to me. He wanted me to differentiate between a trend versus lifestyle.
Okay.
And what is a trend? A trend is something that's temporary. When people are coming to Christ and it's a trend, they're going to lack repentance. So they have this heart posture of, "I'll just do it and I'll ask God to forgive me for it later," which means that you're not really repentful. if you are planning to willfully sin, you're not living a lifestyle of repentance. Therefore, because there's no lifestyle, the change is only temporary.
Yeah.
The desire is only temporary to seek God. It's sufficient within those moments for you where you feel like you need him and you're needing to get something out of him.
Yeah.
But the moment that your flesh begins to have an appetite because you haven't trained yourself to die to yourself every day, die in your flesh, and people get hung up on that because they're like, I want to ride with Jesus. I don't want to die. You know, like, you know, and the thing is that it's not a physical death. And we've talked about this before in another episode, but it is a death of the fleshly desires and the appetite of what we want to do so that we could pick up our cross and we can fulfill the desires of what God wants to do through us. It's about us partnering with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so when someone is making a lifestyle change for Christ, no matter how radical it may seem, no matter how overnight it might seem, number one, the very first thing that happens is that they have an encounter with God. And the encounters that they have with God is very common for it to be dramatic. I know me personally, my encounter that I had with God that pushed me into a lifestyle change, I'll never forget. I was at a point in my life where I was so depressed. I was so down. And like I said, I will never forget like crying over my Bible that day and my Bible literally being drenched in my tears. Like I couldn't even read the words that was on the paper. And God began to speak to me. I was fasting at that time because the Holy Spirit, he spoke to me in the midst of my mess. See, I had done some things that I shouldn't have done. So at the time, I was trying to, quote unquote, call myself a Christian, but at the same time, I was dabbling in things of the world. And so I did something that you're not supposed to do, like when you're a believer in Christ. And a lot of it had to do with this new age doctrine that got leaked into the body of Christ, where people think that, oh, it's okay for me to have my crystals. It's okay for me to post the evil eye and on my pictures. It's okay for me to, you know, it's not a tarot card reading. It's an angel card reading.
Don't do that.
All of these things. And so I kind of fell into the rabbit hole because that's how the enemy comes. He comes as an angel of light. And that's how he deceives us. So I fell into that rabbit hole. You know, I was doing yoga. I was doing all those things. And I had someone that I knew to do what they were calling an angel card reading.
Oh, gosh.
And so, and call it what you want. It's a tarot card reading at the end of the day.
Yes, it is.
Immediately. So during that reading, I got the devil card twice. I think it was like, I actually went and I got two different readings. This is the first time in my life I ever did something like this. The first time I got the devil card, the second time somebody else did it, I got that. I was like, why I keep getting the devil card?
Oh my gosh.
And so, and it was God like you, this is
letting you know.
You're playing in the background. You should not, like, I did not call you to this. You are mine. Uh-huh. What are you doing? Uh-huh. And so immediately after I got the second reading, it's so temporary in how they speak to make you feel like I am answering your questions, but that's familiar spirit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we know this. Paul casted out one, and you know, so I began to immediately go into this deep depression afterwards, and I could not explain it. Like, and then the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and he said, I need for you to fast. And I didn't know what it was, why God called me to fast. I never fasted in the way that God was calling for me to. So I fasted for 7 days. And on the third day, I have my Bible open. I'm reading my Bible. My Bible is covered in tears. I'm like, God, I don't know what's wrong with me. I cannot get my emotions in check. I'm feeling like just like unalived on the inside. Like I just... And so that night, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, I'm going to show you something. And I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I kid you not, I saw this demon bent over my bed, like just hovering over my bed with these black halo eyes, just staring at me. It was brown. It was elongated. And it was just, I mean, I was scared. So I'm screaming. I put the covers up over my face the first time And I put it down. It's still there staring at me. Second time, I put it down. It's still there staring at me. The third time, I'm just like, oh, God, what is it that you want me to see? And then by the third time, it disappeared. And so I wake up, I turn on all the lights. At this point, I'm not going back to sleep with the lights off. No. Okay? So the Holy Spirit began to minister to me, and he began to talk to me, and he told me that that thing that you saw, that is what was depressing you. The way that it was bent, it was hovering over you spiritually, depressing you. It was making you feel that way. I can't explain it, but literally the next day, when I tell you there was what people are calling it over, it was an overnight sudden thing that happened to me. I was free.
Yeah.
I wasn't depressed. I had my smile back. I had my joy back. It was something I was still going for with my fast, but something changed.
Yeah.
And so when people are just like, you know, oh, it's a trend. Anytime you see people doing things and it's supposedly overnight is coming across as fake, you know, my thing is that you weren't there when I was crying on my closet floor privately. You weren't there when nobody could help me but God, when I was crying out to God yes. privately, and he healed me privately. Yes. So I am going to praise him yep. and testify
on the mountaintop, publicly. On the publicly. Mountaintop. Like at this point, I'm like, I don't care who likes me, who stops following me. I don't care what anybody even says about me. And that's something God delivered me from.
People.
Now I don't care. Like, he didn't care.
Exactly.
And I love your sudden moment. And I feel like every Christian has that suddenly moment. Like, for me, my sudden moment was when I decided, okay, I'm coming to you. You told me you've been at the door knocking. You've been not doing it. I've been here. So I finally decided to just crack it open just a little bit. Started reading my Bible a little bit. Started praying here and there. And next thing I know, I will never forget. I felt like a snatching. It felt like a snatching of my soul. And I was just like, the next day after I started praying like on a consistent basis, I will never forget, one day I woke up and I was not the same anymore. Like, I didn't want the same things. I didn't like the same things anymore. And it's not a fun process.
Yeah.
And that's something trendy people make it seem like walking with God is, you know, it's just all flowers and lilies. No, boo-boo. It is not.
Right.
It is not. You don't get to the flowers and the lilies until you go through
the valley, fire. The fire. Valley.
You have to go through the refinement stage. And I remember thinking I was losing my mind. One day I was on the floor trying to study my Bible. I was sitting there and I was reading, and I felt like I had all these voices going on in my head, but they were so demonic, telling me different stuff. And it just felt like a pounding on my head, but it also felt like I felt God. I felt the presence of God there too. And I don't think I've ever shared this with you, but it literally felt like a tug of war game between the enemy and God. And literally, he kept trying to get me to close my Bible, stop, but God kept saying, keep going. Keep going. You're almost there. And you got the enemy telling me different stuff. All of this is going on at the same time. I remember sitting on the floor. I ended up covering my head like this. Like, I thought I was losing my mind. I happened to go on a live. I was following this man. He's a minister. I still follow him. And I remember this lady didn't even know who I was. She saw me on the live. And because, you know, it says, you know, Mercedes Smith joined the live. Well, she saw me on the live and she said, at Mercedes Smith, the father said, greater is to come, my daughter. I looked at my phone and I was like, and he told me it's all worth it.
Oh, my God, that makes me want to cry.
Yeah. She didn't know me at all.
Yes.
She just said, the father said, greater is to come, my daughter. And I was just like, okay, so he's letting me know that.
Don't you love how he speaks?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, that is so powerful. Yes.
And it's so personal. It is so personal. And he's letting me know, you're going through this stuff, but be happy.
Amen.
Be happy. Because if you weren't going through it, you weren't on my side. And now I am like you. I will gladly, I will go anywhere. Where do you want me to send me?
Exactly. Send
me. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I don't care anymore.
Exactly.
I owe that man my life. I was on my way to hell. I was on my way to hell, and he told me, you are going to go to hell.
Yeah, no, same. I remember one day I was driving in my car, and the Holy Spirit kept saying, you're a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? I was like, me? A witch? No.
Like, how dare you?
No. I was like, I love Jesus. I read my Bible. I'm a Christian. And he was like, you're a witch. You're a witch. And then one of the times that God spoke to me, and this is when he began to deal with me about New Age. And for me, this is my testimony, because this was that overnight shift, quote, when people are calling it overnight. But for me, it was technically, you know? And so I was driving to church, and I began to talk to God and pray. And I was like, you know, like, God, I want to hear from you. I want to like just have these encounters with you. And at the time, the Holy Spirit was like dealing with me on the little things that I had allowed to come into my home that I thought was okay, like having crystals and having sage. And I thought that was okay because I would have that, and then I would have my Bible. And I just thought, well, I mean, it's fine, you know? And so that night I had a dream. I was in this white room, like I was taken, like my spirit was suddenly taken, and I was in this white room, and I heard God speak to me, and God spoke, and he said, are you done with your rituals yet?
Ew.
And it was so clear, and I answered God, and my spirit answered God. My spirit said, but Father, I don't do rituals. What do you mean? And he said, but you got those crystals. And when I woke up, because anytime you're having an encounter with God, and if it's in a dream, you're going to immediately wake up. An encounter with God is not going to hop around.
Uh-uh.
You're not going to have an encounter with God. And it's, you know, God spoke to me, and then after that, I dreamt that I was riding on the back of a bunny. No. When God speaks to you and it's in an encounter, and you're having this encounter in a dream, you are going to immediately wake up.
And you'll remember every detail.
Every detail.
Yeah.
So I wake up, and my spirit, I had forgot where these crystals were, you know, because God was dealing with me on purging things out. And so I was doing it, you know, as he was dealing with me on it and bringing it back to my memory. And so my spirit was like, look in your nightstand. I looked in my nightstand, and there was these crystals in the back, like it had filled to the back. And so I immediately took them, and I threw them away. But I say that to say, I share my testimony because that's what God told me to do today. He told me to share my testimony. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you know, I have it written down in my notes. Revelations. There is a scripture, Revelations 12:11. It says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of our testimony.
Yeah. Yeah. Satan, and that's something. Satan wants you to silence yourself. He doesn't want you to tell your testimony because he knows that's how you pull other people out of the gutter.
Exactly.
He doesn't want you to. So for me, he has made me feel like I'm not worthy. He's made me feel like no one will listen. You're still not that good of a person. But then all the while, God is saying, no, you are great. You're perfect to me.
Mm-hmm.
Tell it. Tell your story. And we're not here to like shame anybody that feels like they want to talk about God in a trendy way. As long as it's like coming from the heart and you really have had that walk with God, because it's not a cakewalk. And that's something I do get a little annoyed with, I won't lie, when I see people talking about God in this generous way, in this soft way, because although
like he's
he
all
is,
loving, and but he's also a God of war. Let's
oh
not,
my God. And he
let's
will
not
go to
forget
war
that.
Against you.
If you are his enemy, he will. For a long time, I didn't realize that I was an enemy of God when I was living in willful sin and I was pulling others into my willful sin.
Yeah.
I was an enemy of God. Now, here's a question that the Holy Spirit posed to me. And this is what he began to talk to me. He said, and I'm going to pose it to you. He said, could there be a demonic assignment to silence believers from sharing their testimony?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That the enemy did that to me. He did that to me because in today's time, people want people that are relatable.
Yeah.
And how do you become relatable? You come relatable by going through things that are similar that would what other people are going through.
Yeah.
And if people can relate to your story, then they'll probably believe you. They'll believe the outcome of your story.
Exactly.
And if they're still going through that thing and they see how you came over and how you look and the glow that God gave you, they're going to want the same thing. Like, okay, I have this to look forward to.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just what it is. And, you know, the story that I love the most in the Bible about a dramatic change. I want to go back to the dramatic because, you know, drama queen here.
Right. I think we both are.
Yeah, we are. We are.
Yes.
Thank you for being, you know, being honest because you are dramatic.
Because I was like, wait, she's going to call me out.
Try to be nice.
We're both a little dramatic.
We are. But you know, like the most dramatic story in the Bible is Saul turning to Paul. Mm-hmm. Saul was on the road to Damascus, headed to kill Christians. He slaughtered them left and right.
Mm-hmm.
He was not playing any games. He hated Christians.
He hated them.
And on the road to Damascus, God came and knocked him clean off his horse.
Exactly.
And he revealed himself to him.
He said,
in all his glory.
Why do you persecute me?
Why do you persecute me?
He said, me.
He took it personally. Mm-hmm. Not why are you persecuting my people.
He said, me.
Why are you persecuting me?
Yeah.
And he turned around and for 3 days, he blinded Saul.
Mm-hmm.
He blinded Saul. And that is where Saul's suddenly moment came.
Mm-hmm.
3 days.
Yeah.
It took me months.
If that happened in 2024, it was overnight.
We don't believe it. Yeah.
You're talking about God too much. So yes. I feel like it's fake.
It's fake. But it took Saul. You just think about this. Somebody that was slandering your name one day, cursing you out.
Mm-hmm.
3 days later, they come to you saying, I love you.
Yeah. No, where he was headed, I forgot the gentleman's name of where he was headed.
He was God sent. I can't remember his
name. It was like Barnabas. I don't know. It was something like that. I don't know. I forgot. But the person who he was headed to, God had already dealt with that person and told them to welcome him.
He
was scared. He was like, you want me to welcome this?
He's going
to
kill me.
The person who's killing people for believing you into my home. But, you know, the thing about that story is so supernatural because when it talks about the scales falling off of his eyes, a lot of people don't understand
that's symbolic.
Saul turned to Paul. He struggled with pride. And the demon of pride is called Leviathan. And it is described in the Bible, in the book of Job, is described as a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And Job is the oldest book of the Bible. And so when the scales fell off of Paul's eyes, those were actually the scales from
Leviathan.
It was the scales of pride.
Mm-hmm.
It was the scales that Leviathan spirit had on his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because Paul was so prideful.
Mm-hmm.
He was too prideful to accept the fact that these people that he was martyring, because they were martyrs for Christ, that they had an encounter with Christ that was so supernatural and so divine that they were willing to die for it. Like, we have to ask ourselves, because there has been people that's like, oh, the 12 disciples, they made up this story about Jesus' resurrection. What makes you think that someone would make up a story to the point where they all literally were willing to die for it?
They're dying for
an encounter, an experience that they had with God.
Yes, there was something about him that connected because it was so strong. Because you mean to tell me, you think about it in today's term, you mean to tell me you are willing to leave your land, your home, your family, to follow a man that you don't even know?
You don't know.
What's up with him? Like,
and he's in today's time, he would just be like a nomad. Like, he's just a person that's just wandering around.
I went from living in a home to living in a tent.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even know what I'm going to eat the next day.
This is radical changes. And so the thing is that, and it's going to bring me back over here to what the Lord wanted me to talk about. We talked about how, you know, when it's a lifestyle, you're going to have that encounter. There's going to be repentance, right? We talked about the refining and the purifying part of it. And then we also talked about carrying your cross and how you have to work out your salvation. But there's this thing that's going around now where non-believers, it's like to be a Christian in 2024, it's like non-believers reject you because they feel like, you know, we don't believe you. You're doing too much. And then Christians reject you because they feel like, well, you're believing way too much. Like, your belief in God is causing for me to feel some type of way because it doesn't pacify my lukewarm lifestyle. And so that was a thing that God began to deal with me on. He was like, not everybody is going to accept you because the way that you are walking with me, it makes people who are choosing to willfully be lukewarm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so you don't even have to say anything.
Yeah. No.
Just you your walking in the room, smiling,
uncomfortable.
Makes people uncomfortable. Yes. And it doesn't matter how much you show them love, they're going to look for a reason to hate you. And that's what it's like to be a Christian that is completely sold out to Christ in 2024. And honestly, that's probably what it's always been like, for centuries. But the thing that God began to deal with me on was, legalism versus holiness. Mm-hmm. And I get that, you have Christians that throw out this word of legalism anytime they feel like another Christian is doing too much. But the Holy Spirit broke it down to me. And what he gave me was basically when you being legalistic is when you are putting more of an emphasis on obedience over faith, right? Because I get that you have these terms such as legalism, you have these terms such as self-righteousness, and you have these terms such as judgment that non-believers and even some Christians can feel like they have experienced from other Christians, other believers. Mm-hmm. And so God began to break it down to me. He was like, the pursuit is for holiness.
Yeah.
It's always for holiness. So anytime you have obedience without faith, this is where it becomes legalistic. Uh-huh. And a lot of people don't understand the definition of what legalism is. And then he talked to me about self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. He was like, self-righteousness, it gives credit to the self versus righteousness in God's eyes is when you allow for God to credit you.
Yeah.
He brought over that story of Abraham. Like, Abraham was considered righteous in God because of his faith. Mm-hmm. It was Abraham's obedience plus his faith
together
that considered him righteous in God's eyes. But guess what? Altogether, it made him holy.
Yeah.
It made him holy because Abraham, he wasn't seeking after, okay, I do A, B, and C, and then I get the promise as if like it's a 1, 2, 3 step of obedience, and then I should get this thing. And that's how a lot of people look at God. A lot of people are legalistic in how they approach God.
This is so good because this is something that he talked with me this morning, and he said what kind of irritates him is we just be having some good conversation. Mm-hmm. He said this is a trend that irritates him the most is when people think that they can play me. He said they think that they can play me in a manner of, well, I'm gonna follow Jesus and I'm gonna do legalism X, Y, and Z to get a husband. Mm-hmm. Or I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z to get some money. He said, you cannot play me. Don't you know I know your thoughts? Don't you know why you're doing what you're doing?
Right.
And that bothers me too. Like I cringe when I get on TikTok and I follow a lot of women, but I cringe more so when I hear women say, you know, I'm going to follow God because I want a godly man. That's your reason?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's going to send you a godly man because you're idolizing wanting a godly man?
He is not going to give you an idol. That's the thing. Like, God is, if anything,
Hello?
He's going to tear down your idols.
He will make it to where you don't even want a man.
Mm-hmm.
Before he gives you one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll be like, I don't
He's
even
not
going to
give you an idol. And the idea of thinking that it's a formula. I mean, and I think that any believer at any point can get caught up in this because no one is above it. The thing is that when you recognize it, is to immediately have a repentful heart and just be like, oh, goodness, Lord, I just realized I'm looking at you, like we've said it before, God is not a genie. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you as someone who, okay, you're going to answer my prayers because I did A, B, and C. Mm-mm. But the thing about it is that do you still have faith in him that even when God has promised you something and you don't see the outcome of that thing happening and you're going through the fire, do you still have faith to remain obedient?
But not only do you not see the outcome of it, but when you pray, you ask for something and it seems like you're moving backwards, like he's taking you down. Like every time I ask for this, I'm going through that. Like, why is that happening? You have to still trust that even in the midst of this chaotic jungle that you have me in, that somewhere something is for me in this. It isn't just go for women. It's men too. Men want good women. Mm-hmm. They want good women. But the question that he always poses is, why would I send my daughter, or why would I send my son to you who's trying to play their father? Why would I do that?
Period.
Why would I do that?
Yeah.
And another question that he posed to me that I absolutely love is, he said, because I had to write that one down. Mm-hmm. I said, that's too good. He said, I am a trend right now. I am trending right now because this world is a mess. Now they need me.
Yeah.
He said, this world is a mess. I am trending now. How am I a trend when I was never even popular?
Oof.
He said, people didn't even like me. I had more haters than I did followers. So how am I trending right now? Am I trending because people want something? Well, how about when I give it to them, are they still going to follow me? Or are you going to go right back into doing...
Right back into your vomit.
Well, what makes you think he won't snatch
to your
that
vomit
thing
like
away?
A dog.
What makes you think he won't snatch that very thing away if he did give it to you?
Yeah.
You know? It's a lifestyle. And a lifestyle is what? Something that we do every day. It's things that we do in the conscious and unconscious. Literally.
No, the Holy Spirit, he's speaking through you right now.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah. I just... That kind of hit me when he said, how am I trending? I was never even popular.
But the part where you, that part, no, for real. But like, the part where you said it's a lifestyle, it's something that you do every day. And that's, I think that is a journal. That's a moment of reflection within our journals, right? Like, how have we incorporated spending time with God every day so that it becomes a lifestyle? Because the Bible says that we are cleansed by the washing of the word, which means that we are cleansed by reading our Bibles, by praying.
Yes.
So how much time are you setting aside for God daily? Because it has to be more than just 30 minutes or 15 minutes.
Yes.
Like, how much time are you truly setting aside to just say, Lord, I'm going to open up my Bible and I'm going to partner with the Holy Spirit and just let your presence flow and do whatever it is that you want to do.
Silence the noise around me.
Exactly. Because once you begin to do this, they say if you do something for what, like 15 days, it becomes a habit. Right. So I think that's a really good like moment of reflection to anyone that's listening to this. Like, if you could just set like an hour of your day aside for the next 15 days, you know, I don't know if we can call this the Read Your Bible Challenge, you know?
But you know what? That's a good one. But you know what? It's not even something that during your walk with Christ, it's not going to feel like a task
to do.
Because in the walk with Christ, you're going to realize how much you truly need
you
him.
You begin to desire
like,
it.
I feel sick. If I feel like I have not heard from him, and usually it's because of me, because he's like, well, you didn't say anything. So, you know, if I don't hear from him, if I feel he's too far, I feel sick. And that is how you know it is a lifestyle now, because I thirst for him every day. Every day I thirst. So therefore, I don't just set times. I talk to God all day long. All day long I talk to him. From the moment that I wake up, thank you for waking me up. Even if it's just that. Thank you for waking me up.
I'm a firm believer in pushing for people to wake up with God during the fourth watch. And the fourth watch is going to be between that 3 a.m. time period and 6 a.m. So the Hebrew time, and they broke Hebrew. Okay. So in Judaism, they break time up within watches. So they really had like 12-hour days. So like the night was a day and the daytime was a day. And they would break their day up within watches. And so the fourth watch is what I've heard the world call it, the witch's hour, but it wasn't designed as that way. It was initially designed as this is God's holy hour. And anything that God does, the enemy always has a counterfeit and he always wants to pervert it, right? So you have this time between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. when most people are sleeping. One of the things that God began to deal with me is, can you sacrifice your sleep to get up and talk to me? And when I tell you, I've had the most beautiful encounters with God. And I'm not saying that you have to be up the entire time of 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. But I remember when I first started doing that, you know, I would set my alarm. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't wake up sleepy, because I mean, it's a fight for your flesh. And God honors your sacrificial obedience. And so I wake up for like between 3 and 4 a.m. And I'm dropping some gems right now, guys. Waking up between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., read your Bible, pray, get in the presence of God, and then go back to sleep like about, you know, 4:30 a.m. Your dreams will be so prophetic. And it's one of the quickest ways to tap into, you know, God giving you revelatory dreams, because he says in the last days he will pour out his spirit and my sons and my daughters, they will dream dreams and they will prophesy. And so, you know, it's one of the most easiest ways to tap into, you know, the mind of God. And so my dreams, they begin to be so profound. And I mean, it got to the point that Sadie would just like, she asked, she was like, do you have superpowers? Because I was having these encounters and I was having these prophetic dreams. Yes. And I still do. But it would be like God would talk to me about someone that I love. And I would wake up and I would call them. And I'm like, I just had a dream, you know, about it. And they will confirm it. And then it really did it for me. Like, okay, God, man, you're really doing something here. Was when he talked to me about someone that I love's their friend. I don't even know this person, but I had a dream that was about someone whom I love, a person that they love. And so I called the person who I love and I was like, hey girl, God gave me a dream about A, B, and C. And I was like, can you reach out to your person and let them know that, you know, God gave me this. And, you know, just, I know that God is telling me to share it with them. And they did, and they confirmed it. And they were like, no, you're on point, like everything. And so that's also how I began to know that God was prophetically tuning me up.
Yeah.
But he doesn't just want us to stay within the level of dreams of hearing his voice. He doesn't want us to box him in. And so there, yeah, you do graduate as you grow in Christ. Yeah. But that was one of the first ways that God really began to speak to me. And then, you know, outside of just hearing him audibly and then the impressions that he'll place upon your spirit, there's different ways that you can hear God. But I encourage people to tap into the fourth watch.
You know what? And as you were talking, he was just telling me, he said, why 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. is extremely important is because the heavens are doing something between those hours. He said the veil is extremely thin. Like, I am almost letting you see, but you have to get up. And I must confess, Lord, I'm like, okay, you know, he getting on to me right now, because he told me to get up this morning at 3 a.m. He did. And I let the flesh get the best of me. And I was like, can I just get up at 7? Like, you want me to get up at 3? And that's what I'm saying. We're doing this and we're not perfect. We still make mistakes. And I said, well, Lord, I'm tired.
Right.
And he said, this is what he told me to do, because I gathered my notes from him this morning. And I said to myself last night, I said, okay, I'm going to get up about 7 o'clock because I want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. 3 o'clock, I seen it on my phone. I woke up, I said, oh, he wants something.
He wants something.
Yeah. And I looked at my phone. It was around 3 something in the morning. And you know what the first thing he told me to do?
What?
Write. Mm-hmm. Right. That's all I heard. And then next thing I know, it took me a good 30, 45 minutes to go back to sleep. I was tossing and turning. And he just told me, reason why it was so hard for you to go to sleep, because I was having some thoughts. We talked about that earlier. Mm-hmm. I was having some thoughts that I hadn't had in a long time. And I was just like, just random stuff going on through my mind. It was demonic. And he said, you just let the enemy creep in because of your disobedience.
You were supposed to raise an altar during that time. And so that's also something like, while the enemy was messing with you at that time and you were not able to go back to sleep, that was actually a time that God was calling for you to raise an altar. One of the things that I would, my advice to people, like if you're having nightmares or you notice that every night you're waking up at a certain time, or every night you're waking up and you are having those bombarding, intrusive thoughts, he was like, that's the time that you're supposed to be raising an altar.
And I feel so bad now, because I'm like, it's okay. That's why. And you know, he know how I am. I'm probably gonna be apologizing the next year, child, over this. And
it's okay.
And like now I'm like, I want to publicly say, I'm so sorry, Jesus. I should have got up. I'm so sorry. I should have got up.
Same here. I didn't get up at 3 a.m. this morning. I wanted to, but didn't.
And he told me, he said, because of your disobedience, I told you to get up and write. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, well, I don't have nothing to write. Mm-hmm. And he's, I'm going to tell you what's right, but you got to get up first. Mm-hmm. And he said, when you didn't, I let the enemy do what he wanted to do. He wanted to run rampage in your mind. And I said,
because she should have got up.
She should have got up.
Yeah. No, like I wanted to get up at like 5 a.m. this morning and catch that last hour of it. But I ended up getting up at 7. So, but the thing is that, hey, full transparency, it's something that we should do. I know when I first started really getting into it, I set an alarm. And I had to, the first 15 days was a struggle. And then afterwards, it becomes a habit. And then when you fall off from doing it, it's like a muscle. You know, I got to rebuild that strength up. And so I just know, like with me and my work schedule and everything, 5 a.m. has been my sweet spot. If I can get up at 4:30 a.m. doing those things. But no, he will talk to you, and your dreams are so profound. And it's a time period to raise an altar. But if you miss it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I'll make it.
His grace renews every day.
I'm going to make it. I'm so sorry.
But set an alarm for tomorrow.
This is all a part of a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, he still gets on to me for things.
Right.
He gets on to you for things.
Same.
You know, I mean, he loves us, but he reprimands us, mm-hmm. you know. And I'll never forget the day that I didn't do something he told me to do. And that night, as I was, like, getting ready, doing my nighttime routine, he told me, he said, I am so disappointed in you. My heart broke. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. But this is all I'm just saying is God has feelings. You're going to go through all the feelings in this life with him. All of it. It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle, and the lifestyle is holiness.
Yeah.
I just want to like.
Not perfection.
It's not perfection, yeah. But I want to place the emphasis that the lifestyle is holiness. Because once again, obedience without faith is legalism. And if we get stuck on, okay, I'm obeying you, I'm doing A, B, and C, but you have no faith, then you're being legalistic. And if we get stuck on, you know, perfection, then we're going to miss the call, because Jesus already knew we were going to make mistakes. That's why he came and he died, you know, on the cross and rose again, you know, so he's already factored in all the mistakes that we're going to make, but he's just wanting for us to every single day do what Paul said, which is work out our own salvation. And when you're doing that, it is a lifestyle change. Yeah. It is going to come across as if it's radical or overnight to those who don't understand. Mm-hmm. You are going to feel like people who are not there yet. You're going to have believers who are not there yet. They are going to see you actually being obedient and having faith to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's going to compel the Holy Spirit within them to begin to convict them. And a lot of times people don't know how to do, they don't know what to do with that conviction of the Holy Spirit. So they begin to allow for the enemy to now take the conviction of the Holy Spirit to place condemnation on them. Mm-hmm. And they don't know how to internalize that condemnation, because we weren't created to internalize condemnation. We weren't created to hold shame. And so what we do, We project. So now that person who we see that is, you know, picking up their cross and they're carrying it, we project it. And now we make it seem like, oh, they're judging me. We deflect that conviction of what the Holy Spirit is really doing on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is trying to hold up a mirror saying, no, look at yourself, because you're looking at this other person, their lifestyle, and you're judging them because they have done what I've told them to do. And now, instead of you allowing for me to convict you about it, you are projecting and you are judging them. And it's like what God told, you know, Saul, why do you persecute me? Mm-hmm. That's how he feels whenever we as Christians begin to place judgment on another Christian. And instead of us dealing with the conviction of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives, he's looking at them and he's going, why do you persecute me? Because they're doing what I called them to do. They're doing what I told them to do. They're not perfect, but they are working out their salvation every single day. So why are you judging them? Why are you judging me? Why are you persecuting me?
I commend anybody that is on a public platform and they are displaying their lifestyle as far as following Christ in front of everyone, because we're not perfect. A righteous man falleth what?
Seven times.
Seven times.
And it said when he get back up, it didn't say he was unrighteous on the eighth. He's still righteous when he gets back up. And that's
not
just
a righteous man. It's not. And a lot of people seem to think that a righteous man, oh, he's talking about the pastors and stuff. No, he's talking about us.
Yeah.
Us. We're going to fall. Over and over. Sometimes we'll fall in the dark. Sometimes we'll fall in the light.
Exactly.
But we will fall. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get back up and we're going to keep going. And God's going to forgive us. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. It's not easy. So I just want to leave everybody with knowing that it's great that Christ is trending. I am so happy that Jesus is
trending.
I am so happy that Jesus is cool, because he's always been cool.
He's always been cool.
And if it's
a trend that's making people get saved, it's a trend that's bringing people to Christ. Hey, I'm here for it. But let's take the trend and let's make it a lifestyle.
Let's make it a lifestyle and just know it's not going to be as easy as some may think. Mm-hmm. It is not a walk in the park, but it will all be
for your good
in the end. So,
all right. So, you know, we haven't closed out with prayer in a long time.
We haven't. Let's do that.
Like these mics. I know. Okay. All right. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we want to uplift every single viewer that is watching this. And we ask that you have your way in their lives now. We just ask that they partner with the Holy Spirit and that they have an encounter with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for radical lifestyle changes. We pray for lifestyle changes that occurs overnight. And these men and women of God who is watching, those who that we are reaching today and those who may not watch until 10, 20 years from now, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Father, I want to say that I love that you are a trend right now. You will always be that God of me. And I pray that you will just take these trends and transform them into lifestyles for people. Show yourself, reveal yourself to everyone that is watching and to anyone that loves us or doesn't love us or whatever the case may be. We ask that you will continue to even be with them. We thank you. We love you. We'll continue to put you first. You are our only idol. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, all right. You got to get back over to your mic.
You're so bossy. Can I live? Just kidding.
What we say, our thing, what the enemy meant for evil,
God meant it for good.
He'll turn it around every time. Big God.
Massive God.
Not the little one.
Not the little one.
Period.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Love you guys.
God's daughters.
Deuce.